Sermons from St. Andrews is a live recording of the Sunday homilies preached from the pulpit of St. Andrews Reformed Episcopal Church in Appomattox, Virginia. Following the pattern of the Christian year, these sermons are designed to drive us deeper into the life of Christ so that we might both see the glorious work that He has achieved for us and that we might be changed by entering into Christ. These sermons are presented by Father Damien Grout, who serves as rector of St. Andrews.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, one God. Amen. With today being the last Sunday in the church year, I want to call you to a time of brief contemplation of endings. Because over these next few days, I am going to ask that you consider carefully what this last year has held. And I want you to contemplate all that has happened, good and bad, our successes and our failures. And we remember this not simply in order to exercise in nostalgia, because honestly, what we've undergone over this last year can be called nothing short of tumultuous. But at the end of this tumultuous year, I want us this morning to hear what the Apostle Paul says to us in Hebrews chapter 12. So I want us, as we come to the end of this church year, to hear this admonition. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight the paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You will hear next week as we move into the season of Advent, it's this theme of preparation. But even, I guess I'd ask you to prepare for preparation through this morning's lessons. But we come to the end of this church year and we look back upon what has been. And I readily admit, I don't think any of us could anticipate it, what this last year has held for us. This has been and continues to be one of the most challenging times in Christian ministry that I have ever faced. And it's not only in remembering what has happened, it's also in looking ahead to what comes next. And if ever there was a time that we gather together seeking Christ, but we come to Him with weary arms that hang down and knees that feel unsteady and feeble under our bodies, it's now. But as the end of the year comes, we are not called to wallow. We are called to rally our energies, to grasp after our Lord Jesus Christ, to pick up our feet that might be dragging, and to walk with purpose and strength in the way of Christ, the way that He has led for us. Because this Sunday is not only about finishing strong, it's about looking ahead to what lies ahead, this new year that's about to break upon us. And even as we look ahead, to now take up our courage and by the power of the Spirit move forward in faith towards that which is before us. And finding even in this journey true and everlasting joy. Now, I do hope that you take time during the week to follow through the daily lessons, morning and evening prayer, because as we have read evening prayer through this last week, we have found ourselves in St. Matthew's Gospel. We've been there for a few weeks now, a couple of months in fact, but as we have gone through St. Matthew's Gospel during the course of this last week, we remember that it was just a couple of nights ago that we joined Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there Jesus faced a very real ending of a sort. And we watched as our Lord is in Gethsemane, we watched the agony that He endured as He looked ahead to what was before Him. He looked ahead to the betrayal of one of the 12. He knew about the court that promised justice but only delivered injustice. He looked ahead to the cruel mocking of the crowds as He would be stripped naked before the crowds and ripped to shreds by the scourge. And all of this was simply the way before the cross, upon which our Lord, the Prince of Glory, the Creator of all things visible and invisible, offers Himself upon the altar of the cross for the life of the world. Now, when we're in that Easter season, when we read these lessons from the garden, too often I allow myself to gloss over the Garden of Gethsemane, to rush through it so I can go with Peter and John to the high priest's house. I rush through it so I can get to Herod and to Pilate and even to the cross. But here at the end of the church year, we're back in Gethsemane, the garden, and we behold something that, if we are really looking, is both beautiful and terrifying. It's jarring, because we find there in our Lord moving away from his disciples as he goes higher up the mountain, and we watch as he falls prostrate on the ground before his Father, and we hear him crying out in his anguish, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He knew what was before him, and the very thought of what Good Friday would be weighed upon his soul, so much so that he did not hesitate to ask the Father, "Let this cup pass from me." But this is not the end of his prayer, because Jesus the Son, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, he trusts his Father, and so he continues in his prayer, saying, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." This happens again a second time, and again a third. Three times our Lord asks that the cup that was before him, that cup of suffering, that cup that would bring the old Passover to its full completion and end, this cup that would mean he is being offered as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Our Lord asks three times that this cup be taken away. But even at these three requests, we also hear three expressions of faith, of loving trust in the will of the Father. There's no doubt that the prospect of the cross made our Lord's heart quake and his knees buckle, yet he goes forward in faith. He despises the shame, as the Epistle to the Hebrews says, and for the joy that was set before him, he endures the cross. For the end that was before him here in Gethsemane is also a new beginning. For his death would set into motion the very defeat of death by death. And the taking away of the fear of death for us who have been united to the Lamb of God. For now in his death he begins the exodus that will lead us into the new heavens and the new earth. But I think sometimes we look back at the cross, and though there is one sense in which it is once for all, the cross stands before each and every one of us today and every day, because we are each called to take up our cross, to follow in the way of the cross that Christ has pioneered for us, to follow the train of our Lord's glorious cross as we take up ours. The path that we are called to follow is sometimes lonely. It's oftentimes frightening. And sometimes it's not only the cross itself that will be the challenge, but all the things that hinder us from actually taking that cross up. And so this morning, we hear the prayer of the church, and we take this prayer upon our lips every morning and evening through this coming week. We pray, "Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people. Stir us up. Wake us up from our slumber. Lift our eyes from all of these distractions. Pick us up out of the doldrums of a never-ending pandemic and a never-ending election. Awaken our hearts to the reality of your kingdom that relativizes all other kingdoms that have ever been. Fill us with courage to follow you, even when the world shakes its fist at us and rattles their sabers, when we talk and walk after your holy law." But we are called to go the way of the cross, and yet it seems like everything is conspiring against us as we go this way. How is it that we are going to learn to shut out all of these distractions? Because when I say distractions, sometimes we think of little things fluttering off on the horizon. It's like me, any time that there's a TV on in the background, I don't care what's on it. My eyes are automatically drawn to that movement. These aren't the kind of distractions we're talking about. These are not threats that come from an overactive imagination. Because if you are paying any attention at all, we are hearing calls every single day to shame and to punish those who would hold to the unchanging faith. We are hearing calls escalating day after day to strip away all of the rights of those who proclaim Christ or minister in His name. Just yesterday, a call came out to strip away the accreditation of all Christian schools and universities if they will not get with the progressive agenda of the brave new world of the 21st century. But if we allow our eyes to be focused down here, if we simply keep our eyes on all of the threats and distractions of this present age, if we allow ourselves to be drawn into fear over the machinations of this present world, you know, we will never, ever be able to bring forth the fruit of righteousness. This fruit of righteousness, that's what we were created for. And that's what we have prayed for this morning. Now, by saying keeping our eyes up here so our attention isn't focused down below, this isn't to say in any way that the things down here are somehow unimportant, that we should just ignore injustice and roll over for oppression, that we should just pretend that the things that take place here and now don't really matter. No, that's not the point. The point is, the right answer is, that we keep our eyes fixed upon the righteous branch, as we heard in our Old Testament lesson. We keep our eyes fixed upon the King who shall reign and prosper. We look to the King who will bring judgment and perfect justice when He brings in the kingdom which the prophet foretold, the kingdom that we will see beginning to unfold before our eyes in the incarnation of our Lord, in His baptism, in His bloody passion, in His resurrection, and in His ascension, the kingdom of God that comes in the Father sending His Spirit through the ascended Son to bring us into the heavenly life. So we keep our eyes fixed on Christ, not to ignore the things that come down here, but in order to make sense of the things that are happening all around us. For it is only when we keep our eyes upon our Lord, it's only when we have our hopes and desires, our aspirations, our goals fixed in His eternal kingdom, that we can understand how it is that we are supposed to live. But not only understanding with an intellectual sense of how we are to live, but to understand at a level deep enough that will allow us to walk in faith, to trust our Lord enough to obey Him. It's only when we keep our mind fixed in the eternal that we can say with Christ this morning, "Not my will, but thine be done." And it's only when we align our will with the will of God that we learn to be truly fruitful and productive. It's only when we say, "Not my will, but thine be done," that we bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, this fruit that lives forever in our everlasting reward. But we are so much like the Israelites in the Old Testament. The Israelites who God delivered from the bondage of the Egyptians through the first Exodus, we are prone to wander and drift, and even worse, to judge our obstacles and those that oppose us as greater than our Lord and His provision. We are like our forebears because we find it only too easy to break faith with God for fear for our life in this world. So it is with this remembrance in mind that we turn at the end of our homily to our gospel lesson. And it's a lesson that we hear often throughout the church year. It's St. John's account of the feeding of the 5,000. Now, it's with good reason that we come here on this last Sunday of the church year. It's with very good purpose that we are called to join this multitude out in the wilderness, this multitude that, if you read the other gospel accounts, is ready to faint in the wilderness, for weakness and for their hunger. And so we see, we're with the multitude this morning. We're hungry, we're weary, we're trying to find the strength to lift up our sagging hands and to walk with purpose. And our Lord sees us. Our Lord knows who we are. And he lifts up his eyes and he looks upon us. And he teaches us. But he teaches us in a very, I hope you enjoy this lesson as much as I do, because you see Jesus turning to Philip, who's there with him. And he asks Philip, our gospel lesson says Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. But he asks Philip, where are we going to get bread enough so that all of these can eat? And you can almost feel the panic. You can hear Philip's heart starting to patter just a little bit harder, because there's 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And he's like, 200 penny worth of bread, 200 days labor, basically two-thirds of a year's work wouldn't get us enough bread. But beyond that, where are we going to get it? We're in the wilderness. Philip can see only the problem, and his eyes are fixed on the problem. And so because he only sees the difficulty, he's not ready for the solution. But we find there's also Andrew, our patron saint. And he does, Lord God be praised, have a little more vision. And he brings to our Lord this boy with a little lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But as he, even as he presents them to our Lord, you hear his heart sink, because he says, but what are these among so many? Yet Jesus takes this little lunch, and he tells the whole multitude to sit down. And from this lunch, of 5 loaves and 2 fish, he feeds the entire multitude of thousands. But more than just feeding the multitude, our gospel lesson is drawing us to see something else. Because there in the wilderness, after Jesus feeds the multitude, he sends the 12 back out to collect the bread that was left over. There was only 5 little loaves, and what's left over is infinitely more than what he had begun with. And wouldn't you know it, they pick up 12 bushel baskets full of bread. What does this mean? None of this is incidental. For these 12 apostles each have their own basket. And we, even today, as we hear the word preached, we are given the opportunity to feed upon the very bread of life that they received from their Lord on this day. But it's even more than that. It is this bread, the bread of life, the Word made flesh, that we will partake of here at the altar, that sustains us as we seek to take up our cross and follow our Lord. Because we don't have our permanent home here in this world. And every time we get too comfortable here, every time we think that this is all there is, we lose the end game. We lose the plot, because we are looking not for this world, but we are looking to go outside this world for a city with foundations whose maker and builder is God. And so as we go in search of our eternal life, we go out in search of Christ. We are offered this strength more than enough to take us all the way to our Lord himself and into eternal life. For we are offered Christ himself as we partake of the sacrament of the altar. Even now. So come to the altar this morning. Seek to take all of these things that are filling your mind, that distract you, all of these things that fill your heart with fear and anxiety, and look through those to Christ, and follow Christ, and hear his voice calling you to rise up. Let him stir your heart. Let him stir up your will so that you may set your heart and walk after his righteous kingdom, even as you feed on the bread that lives forever. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, one God. Amen.
Sermons from St. Andrew's is a production of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.